An imagined version of True Events, Red Velvet, is the story of Ira Aldridge, the first African-American actor to play Othello on the English stage in 1833. And the storylines are blurred between race, friendship, betrayal, and art. The powerful play is currently running at Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts. It stars Obie Award-winning actor John Douglas Thompson as Ira Aldridge. John joins us now. Welcome back to the show. It's always great to have you on the program.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Great pleasure. Red Velvet was written by Lalita Chakrabarty and directed at Shakespeare and Company by Daniela Varone. Daniela joins us via phone this morning. Daniela, good morning. How are
you? Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Danny.
Good morning, John.
Very nice to have you with us. So let us begin with you, Daniela, of telling us how you came to the show and ultimately how Red Velvet came about.
Great. Well, John and I literally came to the show. We saw an English production, the original English production from the Tricycle Theater in London, was on tour to St. Anne's Warehouse in Brooklyn last year. John and I happened to go on the same night and completely fell in love with the play, wanted to do it together, and wanted to do it at Shakespeare and Company. We're both, turned out we were both longtime fans of Ira Aldridge, the actor, who we knew of, but who's been, you know, forgotten by a lot of by the majority of the population. So we were thrilled to find out there was a play about him, and then even more thrilled when we heard the play, and it was a wonderful play.
How far does the play date back?
The play was written in 2012 by
Lalita
Chakrabarty, who is herself an actress, and she worked on it for over 10 years.
Wow. Why is this such an important story to tell?
Ira Aldridge was born in 1807 in New York at a time when it was inconceivable that a black man could be a professional actor, much less a classical actor. And he got himself over to England at the age of 17 and became a professional classical actor. And it's just an extraordinary story of determination and courage and beating the odds. And he was the first black actor to play Othello on the London stage and on a major London stage. And, you know, it's a great story not just because he was, quote, the first, but because he was one of the great Shakespearean actors of all time. And he was so far ahead of his time that we don't really remember him that way. But this story brings it to our attention. And he not only broke the color barrier, but he actually changed the way actors played Shakespeare in that time. And he changed the style of acting in England and in Europe.
John, what would you like to add to that?
You know, I, as Daniela said earlier, we were both really impressed with the play and knew that we wanted to do it here at Shakespeare and Company. And one of the things that really moved me about the play is, obviously, I had known of Ira Aldridge when I was a student in school, but I also knew that many American audiences had not known of this man, and I could tell that from the production that we saw in New York, that so many people were like, oh my God, it's so great to know about this individual. And he spent most of his time in Eastern Europe and in England performing, but he's an American, and he was born in the lower part of New York City. So there was something about telling his legacy or spreading his legacy to Americans and reclaiming this individual, Ira Aldridge, who, as Daniela said, was not only the first black man to play Shakespeare, but one of the first great classical actors, period. And as Daniela also said, you know, he kind of innovated what we consider classical acting today. And to be honest with you, the way in which I perform has a direct link to what Ira Aldridge was doing in the 19th century. So I'm a benefactor of the great things that he brought to this profession called classical acting.
So talk a little bit about that. What are the, how have you taken that?
Well, Ira was very considered emotion and truth to be the hallmarks of acting, of classical acting, and brought that in. Now, we're talking at a time in the 19th century where it was a very, there was a certain amount of artifice with classical acting, with poses and speaking, and it was very declamatory and sometimes even monotone. And what Aldridge brought was a very flexible voice, a great deal of movement and physicality that had a form that matched the emotion. And he also brought a lot of sophistication To his particular roles, and a lot of intelligence to his playing of Shakespearean roles. Now, he not only did he play Othello, but he also played, you know, Macbeth and King Lear and Shylock and Merchant of Venice.
You, from my understanding, you first played Othello in 2009. What was it like for you to play that? And was that a breakout for you?
Well, I played it before. When we did it in 2009, that was the first time I did it at Shakespeare and Company. I had performed it three or four times prior. I happened to be the only black actor in my class at Trinity, and so I was selected to play that role when I was a student, and then I played it on the main stage at Trinity. Then I played it also at the ART. The role is one of those hallmark roles that kind of defines you as an actor. So I felt by the time I did it up here in 2009, because each production was very different, had a different focus, but I felt by the time I did it here at Shakespeare and Company, I'd made some kind of a breakthrough. I kind of understood the role, understood the emotional capacity of the role, and understood the power of it. And my idea was to recalibrate the role, recalibrate the play, because so many people who go see Othello focus so much on Iago, and Iago tends to be the character that everybody thinks about when they leave the play. And I wanted to just readjust that argument or that discussion and make the ploy to say that Othello's not only the most important character in the play, it is the play that is about Othello, and here are the reasons why. So I was really trying to, I found a way of performing the role to make the play highlight the character of Othello and his life story and his particular tragedy.
Danielle, tell us a little bit about how you, maybe some of the challenges of bringing this story to stage and bringing out so many of the points that we've brought out in our short conversation this morning to an audience.
Well, one of the things that's just great fun and challenging in this play is that you have eight actors playing 12 roles, including John playing Ira as a young actor and as an old actor at the end of his career. We have about eight different dialects. We have two foreign languages, and we have a 19th century acting style that we had to research and then sort of recreate, for which there's, you know, there's no video on YouTube. It was 1833. So it's based on research, on pictures, on descriptions of the style. So we both had to sort of embody the 19th century style and then find the ways in which Ira shifted it and subverted it. So there's a lot of moving parts. There are many different locations of the play. It takes place in Poland. It takes place in England, on the stage, in the dressing room, in the green room. So there are wonderful design challenges. And we have, as you know, an extended thrust stage at Shakespeare and Company. And we needed to create the illusion of a scene that was being performed on a proscenium stage. We have a rehearsal. We have a play within the play. So there's just it's a great big play. It's a lot of play. And I have to say, we had a wonderful time with all of that and are excited for audiences to see it.
Mm. When you came in, John, you have a book of Ira Aldridge, and you said you're considering this your Bible. Tell us a little bit about the book and how you've used it over the last couple of weeks and months as you prepared for this.
Yes, it's a book by Bernd Linford, who is a professor at University of Texas, and he conducted a very exhaustive study of Ira Aldridge and his life from 1807 all the way up to 1855, and came up with three editions, 1807 to 1833, 1833 to 1852, and 1852 to 1855. Now, as a part of my research, since I knew a little bit about Ira Aldridge, I did not know a lot about all the places that he performed in Eastern Europe and the characters that he portrayed and how he portrayed them, the reviews that he received, the letters that he received, letters that he'd written, companies that he worked with, and this book has all of that. So it allowed me to fill in the gaps of Ira Aldridge's life, because I am on stage trying to perform him, and so it has become to me now my crutch, my Bible, to fill in all the areas of his life that are not in the play that allow me to bring that to life.
And that's important for you, to have that material.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's as an actor, we're really trying to present a life on stage in all its dimensions, the emotion of it, the cultural aspects of it, the social aspects of it. And for me, as much information as I can have or knowledge of the person, the better I feel I can portray the character. So it's vital as part of my own research to read about this particular character. And because he was a real person, I'm not talking fiction here, it made it even more so for me to really try to delve into his life as much as I could.
Red Velvet, starring John Douglas Thompson and directed by Daniela Varone, runs at Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts through September 13th. You started on August 6th. Daniela, how has it been going? What have you learned from the audience?
They love the story. They love John. They love the actors. And they're really, really moved by Ira Aldridge, by his struggle. They're struck by how current and relevant the issues are about race, about difference, about otherness to our lives now. There are obviously things that have changed and progressed magnificently in the last 200 years and things that haven't changed at all. So it's very resonant, and it's also we also find the audiences really enjoy the theatricality and the glimpse into the backstage world of the theater in the 19th century and the way that resonates with how change happens in the theater today.
What do you take from that as far as change as it happens in the theater today? How much change have you seen?
I've seen a great deal. Someone had asked me, do I have the struggles of finding roles in classical theater as an African-American actor? And quite frankly, I don't. I can certainly appreciate those struggles, but the reason why I don't is because there are people like Ira Aldridge and after him that fought that struggle in a sense for me, you know? But there's this wonderful thing about just the transformation, what happens to people as actors as they create roles and work on plays. And also, you know, the play deals with a great deal, there's a lot about race in the play as Ira Aldridge is coming into this company to play Othello because he's the first person, the first black person to play it. At the same time, outside of the theater, there is this whole situation where Britain is trying to determine whether they're going to abolish slavery in the colonies or not. So there's a revolution happening outside the theater at the same time that Ira is creating a revolution inside of the theater.
What do you look for in a role? With what you just said in mind, what do you look for?
Wow.
I mean, you're beyond just the check at this point. Or maybe not. Maybe you're never beyyond that. I don't know.
Beyond the check. We're always chasing the check, man. I tend to look for some kind of Achilles heel, a vulnerability or a weakness in the character that they must overcome to reach some sort of transformation that's necessary in their lives. So I'm always looking for, you know, when I played Emperor Jones, you kind of see that character as someone who is missing something in his life. Same thing with Othello, same thing with some of the other characters I played, Tamburlaine, as well as in A Nice Man Cometh, Joe Mott. So I'm always looking for characters who are looking for something in their life, whether they're aware of it or not, and that something that they have to find is going to transform their lives into something else.
I was just thinking, just as I was talking to you, I was reminded that earlier this season, Jesse Norman was supposed to be doing the Lincoln portrait at Tanglewood, bowed out at the last minute. You, my friend, got the phone call.
Yes, I did. That was transformation. there you go. It's a perfect example. They contacted my people. It was kind of last moment, and I got to do the Lincoln portrait with the Boston Symphony Orchestra, and it was fascinating. I don't read music, so I was kind of up there being cued by the conductor, and it was amazing. The words were obviously so relevant and so pertinent, and my focus was on getting the words right.
Yes.
You know, so I didn't want to do any embellishment or perform. I just wanted to keep up with the orchestra and get the words right because I knew they had some contemporary relevance, even though these words were from the 19th century as well.
And that kind of thing where you do something new just seems to be, would be a blast, wouldn't it? Especially if you weren't planning on it and didn't have to get in your head.
That
for
was
a long time.
Filled with a lot of stress, but it did turn out. It did turn out to be a blast because when they asked me, I said, "Listen, the only thing me and Jesse Norman have in common is skin color, and she's female, and I'm a male. I can't do what Jesse Norman does. I don't have her voice." And they said, "No. We'll have somebody." I said, "I don't read music. We'll have somebody that'll take you through the music. It'll be fine. We'll have enough rehearsal, and you'll really like the piece, and you'll have a great experience." And to be honest with you, I did. I really did once I got over the nerves. But, you know, standing up in front of over 5,000 people and reading these incredible words from Lincoln, and they were excerpts from some of his speeches, letters, and whatnot, and then there with the Aaron Copland's music, I mean, you know, that's like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. So I did thoroughly enjoy it once I got over the nerves.
So Red Velvet runs through the 13th, and Danielle, I assume you've enjoyed this as far as putting it all together and seeing audiences react to it.
It's been absolutely fantastic. I mean, we've got, you know, John. It's been a dream to work with John, and we have a phenomenal cast. Seven other wonderful actors. They're a mix of Shakespeare and Company regulars and newcomers, a great team of designers. So we had a very joyful, intense, challenging time putting the show together, and it's just been such a joy to see how the audiences respond to the play, to Ira, to the production. It's been great.
Yeah.
Have you done a talk back?
We did a Q&A Saturday?
Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you like those?
I'm a strong proponent for this particular play, because I think for the audience it creates so much information and so much emotion that people do want to talk.
Yeah.
I would like to do a talk back after every show. And
really?
I try to. And when I see audience members after the show, I always talk to them because I want to know what they're thinking about the play. I want to know what came up for them, what resonated for them, what didn't. And sometimes they ask me my own personal thoughts, and I will share them. But I think this kind of play, which is not just entertainment, which it certainly is on one level, but it is also, it's almost a political play as well, because
sure.
It talks about change and transformation and what it takes to create that. And I think people, and it has lots of contemporary relevance with what is happening in this country today as it relates to race. So although we're performing a 19th century play and 19th century style, it speaks directly to what's going on for us today. So this is a play that I want to do talkbacks about. If I could do a talkback in between at intermission and then another one at the end of the show, I would do it. This is how committed I am to telling Ira's story, because it's just important to me. And as I said earlier before, I'm realizing how directly I am tied to this man's life and this man's struggle.
Red Velvet, starring John Douglas Thompson and directed by Daniela Varone, runs at Shakespeare and Company in Lenox, Massachusetts through September 13th. For ticket and show information, you can visit shakespeare.org, shakespeare.org. John and Danielle, I thank you so much for being with us. What a great pleasure, as always, to have you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Again, you can find out more information about Red Velvet running through the 13th at Shakespeare and Company by going to shakespeare.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.